This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The National LGBTI Health Alliance held its 8th conference, Health in Difference 2013, Our Bodies, Our Minds, in Melbourne in April 2013. Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, is proud to partner with the Alliance to bring you this recording of the 2013 conference.
Our next presenter is Danielle Incorvia. Daniela is a specialist clinical psychologist with 15 years' experience working therapeutically with youth in both Australia and Europe. She initiated the development of the DSSG portfolio within YouthLink over a decade ago. Both Daniela and Vanessa work at YouthLink, which is a specialist mental health service in WA funded to service young people 13 to 24 years of age with serious mental health issues, complex psychosocial problems, and barriers accessing mainstream mental health services. Thanks.
Thanks very much. I'd like to start the presentation today by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land in which we're presenting and standing on today, and to pay respects to the elders and present. Today, we wanted to do this presentation in an effort to illustrate how a mental health service, with its own initiative, a lot of motivation and no extra funding really, has worked actively to reduce the barriers and address the gap in service provision for young people who identify as diverse in their sexuality, sex and gender. We'll be using that term throughout the presentation. We feel that it's a little bit more inclusive than the LGBTI at present. So YouthLink is a mental health service for young people aged 13 to 24 years of age with significant mental health issues. So, and we're based in WA in Perth. Typically our young people present with complex trauma, psychosis, histories with abuse or neglect. They'll have suicidal behaviour, anxiety, depression, and a range of other mental health illnesses. They present with complex psychosocial issues. So typically they're homeless or transient. They may be involved in prostitution. They may have had years of involvement in child protection over the years. So it tends to be one end of the spectrum in terms of how young people can present. And importantly, we exist because many mental health services aren't accessing these young persons. And so part of our criteria is that they're actually not accessing those services and they're experiencing barriers, of which sexuality and gender is included. So they typically have high-risk behaviours such as substance misuse, suicidal, self-harming, or involved in abusive relationships. As a result, we do a lot of outreach work with them. Despite our name, we actually don't employ youth workers. We don't have any on board at the moment. It'd be great to have some, but we're staffed mostly by clinical psychologists and social workers. And we're coming into our 21st year of operation. In 1997, YouthLink was invited onto the steering committee for the Here for Life Youth Sexuality Project. And that was through those initial funds under the National Youth Suicide Prevention Strategy of the Commonwealth Department of Health and Family Services. So it was a short-lived project. It was multifaceted and there was various approaches or arms to it, including providing peer support, such as providing camps for young people, initiating and developing what continues to exist as the Freedom Centre today, which is a safe space for young people, community development, producing booklets and information, professional development and training across metro and regional areas to really any worker who's in touch with young people. And there was also a psychological therapy arm to it where there was direct counselling and support to young people and families. And I guess the aim of this project was to develop and implement and evaluate good practice approaches to suicide prevention for young people with same-sex attractions. When that project came to an end, most of the aspects of that project were able to be continued in some way because it was a joint project with the WA AIDS Council and the Gay and Lesbian Counselling Service, as it was known then. Some of the training was sort of taken up through GLCS, and the Freedom Centre was supported and helped through the AIDS Council. But there wasn't really anywhere to go with the therapy arm, and we didn't want to leave that and just not have a support base for young people, for family members, and also I guess because part of that role involved consulting and supporting the volunteers who were manning the telephones at GLCS. So one outcome was, in that respect, was YouthLink's sponsorship of that that psychology role, and management supported and endorsed embedding this role into the practice of YouthLink and the existing staff capacity. So it wasn't an additional role that was funded, it was just incorporated into the existing services, and that's because we recognised that this was a massive gap in service provision with the highest sort of risk group, really. So what did it look like? So we allocated one, at that time it was one identified clinical staff member, and that's aligned with the LGBTIQ champions that we've talked about, which Vanessa has been in that role for the past 4 years. And I guess the aim of that back then, in 1998 I think it was to develop the goals and objectives around building capacity to respond to the needs of DSSG young people. We initiated what we termed a portfolio. We had other portfolios too in the service. This was a big one for us, and I guess in that respect we named it a portfolio as a specialised area in which we could recognise the dedicated efforts that were needed to be inclusive, to be educated, to be more approachable and connected with the existing community services. And we realised we couldn't really do that in isolation. We couldn't engage and reach out to young people and have them trust us if we didn't partner with existing services. And that was helpful because it really, over the years, we've been able to develop a very healthy, trustful relationship with the community. So community development naturally was part of the deal, and we liaised and maintained regular contact with local services, the AIDS Council, the Freedom Centre, GLCS and others. We had representation on various committees, boards and working parties over the years, and we promoted external research when it was being done, encouraged staff and client participation, and just sort of forward that on. We felt that was important to support any research in this area. And Vanessa currently participates in the National LGBTI Health Alliance and the Mental Health Working Group. And over the years, we've contributed to mental health magazines and conferences in this area as well. So we've become known in WA as having some knowledge in this area. So of course, I guess our service is mostly funded to provide direct clinical service. So we've incorporated DSSG-friendly practices from the outset. So from the moment we get a phone call from whether it be a GP or a referrer or a young person, we ask the questions around sexuality and gender. We don't wait to be told. When we present that young person's situation to our allocation meetings where an available worker is assigned, we discuss it at that point, what other services might be available that could be helpful for this young person's situation. And in most cases, we will direct that clinician to have a conversation and liaise with our LGBTI champion to consult on issues around their situation if that at that point appears to be an issue. When the young person first presents to the service, in our waiting area, we have DSSG-friendly posters, information, we have local community newspapers delivered, And when the worker meets with that young person, they will ask them around their comfort and experiences or if there's any sensitivity or issues related to gender and sexuality. So even if it's not part of the our referral, if that's not indicated in the referral when it was taken at triage, the worker will still ask for that and give permission for that to be discussed. And we're also aware that sometimes these issues emerge over time. They might not be present at the beginning or... So we leave room for that to be raised at any time. We'll go back and check with them at different points in time. We can see young people over a number of years. That's not unusual for us. So we realise it takes time to build trustful, safe relationship. At the moment, we're also in the process of developing some groups for gender diverse young people to meet up. So we'll be interested to see how things go at Curtin University, who are embarking on that at the moment. And I guess as part of our work, we do groups on various issues with young people, and we try and include that kind of information around sexuality and gender in other groups. So if we're running... doesn't matter what it is, if it's social skills training or whatever, we will always use examples of different kinds of relationships, different kinds of issues that come up. So it's not just for the group that identifies as being DSSG. At the moment, as a service, we're involved in and supporting what appears to be, hopefully funded in time, a multidisciplinary gender diversity assessment clinic with our local children's hospital. So that's the kind of presence we're trying to have, and we're really the only mental health service represented on that outside of them. Yeah. Training is a big part of our work in this portfolio. So all staff who start with our service must receive mandatory training in working with DSSG clients. And I think just a couple of months ago we had probably our third refresher training for all existing staff. So even, you know, in which even I attend and Vanessa attends. So we refresh our memory and we get the support of local services to help us with this and to keep us abreast of what's emerging and what kind of skills we need. We provide one-day training to the youth sector. We provide a lot of training to youth workers, other counsellors, support workers in the field, and we have a specific training for working with young people who identify as the DSSG. That's co-facilitated with other services, and it can also include young people who come along and talk about their experiences, their real-life experiences for participants to learn from. We use our weekly staff peer discussion forums to educate staff and have open discussion, and that can those themes can just arise from us talking in these forums, or there might be specific issues that staff request of the LGBTI champion. So it might be things like what's the appropriate language to use, what are the medico-legal issues, all those sorts of things. We provide consultation internally and externally. So the portfolio holder is present and available to address issues that arise within our triage access and allocation meetings, our weekly clinical review meetings where we look at the young people that we're seeing and we briefly discuss what's happening so that all clinical staff have input. And if anything's identified from there, it'll be taken up separately. So it could be issues around assessment. It could be issues, you know, whether we're being inclusive in our care plan, whether we're responding appropriately in terms of the therapeutic approach we're taking, if there's specific issues such as transitioning, just a vast range of things. We circulate articles, resources and event information through our email system almost daily. And we also provide supervision internally and externally for staff and other workers. I think importantly over the years we've developed a reciprocal relationships with local non-government organisations and other community services in supporting each other in our respective specialist areas. So we might supervise staff outside our service around management or their therapeutic skills and mental health training, things like that, and they will also train us in how to keep abreast of and fine-tune our DSSG skills and give us, you know, updated information. And the only other thing quickly before I go on to the last slide is just about maintaining inclusivity and how we do that using the physical space, developing policies and procedures in the service, and having DSSG representation on our youth focus groups and feedback forums. So just to finish up, we sort of thought, well, we think we're doing a pretty good job, given we don't really get any extra funding to do this. But we wanted to sort of see, well, of all the clients that we have in the service, are they being represented? Are we you know, reaching them? And we just did a very quick sort of survey of staff and client, looked at client loads, and just last month, and we identified that 36% of our client load identify as LGBTI, of which 30% are identify as sexually diverse, having same-sex attractions, and 16% being gender diverse. There was also an additional 9%, who identify as heterosexual but had prior or current same-sex attractions and or behaviours. There was no intersex representation currently in the young people that we see, but we have seen intersex young people in our service in the past. So I guess that kind of indicated that at least 45% of current clients have had prior or current sexually diverse experience and or gender issues, regardless of how they identify, and that this has been discussed with their therapist. So we're pretty chuffed, but then we sort of sat back and thought, actually, this is quite a good reflection of, the prevalence of mental health issues amongst DSSG, and really this should be represented in all mental health services. It shouldn't have to be just our service. I'm not so sure if that is the case, though, unfortunately. Whether mainstream mental health services will have the same figures, but hopefully with all the training they're getting this year, it'll be one step closer. Thank you.
You have been listening to a recording from the Health in Difference 2013 conference held in Melbourne in April 2013. For more information about the National LGBTI Health Alliance, head to lgbtihealth.org.au. And for more information on Joy 94.9, Australia's only radio station for our diverse communities, explore joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.